You are the man now. Dog, 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 you are the man now. Dog.
Hey there, everybody, and welcome back to Business Billionaire Mindset. I am, of course, Cameron Applemail with my co-host, Dunstan Pewtermouse. Dunstan, how you doing today?
Pretty good, Cameron. It's great to see you. Great to talk to you, as usual.
And you as well. For any first-time listeners who saw our feature in Forbes and are now here to check out the podcast, we are a couple guys who made it to the top of our industries, and we started a podcast because it's not as hard as you think. You just need to know some of the rules and tricks of the trade. And we think that just like us, you can make it to the top if you just listen. How you doing?
You
got to
work smarter, not harder. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We learned a lot of tools on the way to the top, and we're here to share them with you and answer your questions. So as always, call in, leave us an email, leave us a voice message, and we will try to address your questions and let you know how we did it.
That's absolutely right. I, Cameron Applemail, of course, started a business in Mesa, Arizona, where we take we make cactuses, or we make cell phone towers that look like cactuses, so that they kind of don't stand out. And then we started doing other stuff: surveillance cameras, trash cans. We basically do a sort of environmental architecture, I would say, so that things that are unsightly look good.
And of course, as everybody knows, that was a pivot for you. You started out in just telecommunications.
Yeah.
But once you discovered the popularity of the cactus in the Southwest, a full pivot to telecommunications in, like what you're saying, local regional fare.
That's right. I worked for, it was just becoming so bloated. I first worked for Spectrum, which then became Comcast Spectrum, which then became AT&T Comcast Spectrum, mm-hmm. which eventually just became General Motors and their subsidiaries, and then Monsanto. And so I thought,
and then, of course, Cactus Mobile.
And then Cactus Mobile is where I kind of branched off to. And so, and Cactus Mobile did all... This was all desert-themed cell phone kind of stuff.
Sure.
So you remember their ads starring one of the leads of Wings, one of those kind of average-looking, attractive white leads from Wings. I can't remember that guy's name, one of those two guys. Not the one that was in Sideways and not Shalhoub.
Mm-hmm.
You know who I mean?
Yeah, of course. Of course, the guy you've seen his face, of course, we don't really remember names. That's one of the big things, is that why stop to learn the person? You've already done the transaction. The transaction is done. I'm sure he got paid. I'm sure you got your commercial. Symbiotic.
Yes. And you, of course, Dunstan, you kind of started working in the future, futures. You work in tech futures. Is that what you would
say? Yes. Yeah, many things. Tech futures. And once I sort of got into that macro view of things, I'll dip my toe in anything. You know, of course, tech was where I saw everything going. But once you have the money to play with it, folks, you just got to play the game. That's what I always say. Now I'm playing all kinds of games. I got shipping containers that don't ship. I got lockers that don't hold anything. I have telephones that are just for show. Mm-hmm. You know, there's many different ways to go.
And that's, this is kind of the way in for us, but we have learned so much, not just through our work, but from each other, right? Dunstan, you're the one that introduced me to that don't remember names thing when mm-hmm. I saw you have to reintroduce yourself to your brother-in-law, who you've been married for 10 years, but you just don't remember his name.
A lot of people think it's crazy, but I it is more efficient to have that conversation every time than to keep that thing in my brain.
Yes.
I don't need to remember his name. If he wants to talk to me, we can reintroduce ourselves each time.
It's not rude. You know, you still remember his face. You know the context of him. It's just
I know he's talking to me.
You know he's talking to you. I saw you. You know, we have gotten into funding productions, film productions. Mm-hmm. I saw you reintroduce yourself to Paris Hilton. That's right. Who you've met several times, and people know her by face, people know her by name, but you just don't have it. It honestly sometimes looks like it's more work to forget the name than just remember it.
That's what people tell me, but I promise you, I know nobody, and nobody knows me. That way I'm free, unencumbered. I can move with the market. I can put my money places that, you know, nobody knows about because I don't care.
That's right. And you're always, you know, I think that something that's very interesting about your story is you didn't start in business at all. Your father gave you a loan that you used to become a professional poker player. And that's mm-hmm. kind of where you start. You learned how, you know, how people work. And that's, absolutely. You really learn on the tables.
And is everything gambling or not? Yes, it mm-hmm. is. Everything is a gamble. It's investments and payouts, bets, probabilities, playing your partner. You know what I mean? So everything I learned about business, I really learned playing poker. You know, it's a lot about lying. It's a lot about bluffing. It's a lot about putting all your chips in, you know? You can't be afraid to go broke or else you will.
That's absolutely right. And I learned a ton because you branched out. I love your books from your novel, or not novel, because it's nonfiction, but basically The Gamble of Marriage. And that's it's talking about, even treating your romantic relationships the same, because everything is a gamble. Mm-hmm. Is this an emotional gamble and a financial gamble? Mm-hmm. And you put your vows in there, which were very much about that type of stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm looking for high yield results everywhere I go. As you all should be, listeners, you know, it's really like, hey, it's your life, it's your time, it's your energy. You should be looking for high yield everywhere you go with your time. If I'm going to put in 1 minute, I expect to make $1 million. And my wife knows that.
That's absolutely right. And she won't come to you with any issues that aren't going to be a financial benefit. Or if they are a loss, then it is a positive loss, a loss that you'll learn from, and a loss where the emotional gain outweighs the loss, for example. Yes.
And of course, it's important for us. We've started a tab system. You know, if she owes me money, it goes on the tab. If I owe her money, it goes on her tab. And we're gonna settle those up one day. But we do keep a valid, really specific numbers.
And sometimes, which I really appreciate, sometimes I'll do something that costs your wife money as far as time. You know what I mean? I will be at your house, and I will maybe we'll be in the middle of something important, and I will maybe break something of hers by accident, knock mm-hmm. over a lamp that's important to her. This is a specific story. That not only costs money, but it costs time to fix the lamp, get a new lamp. And you were so kind to say, honey, let's put that on my tab, which I really appreciated.
Absolutely. Hey, it's got to be accounted for, number one. Mm-hmm. Every dollar, time, second's got to be accounted for. And B, I'll take care of it. I don't mind.
And I am happy. I am so happy, and I used to be unhappy, and I know a lot of people that are that way. I was in the muck of the rat race. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Oh, am I going to get hired? Am I going to get fired? Those were the main ones, but you know, mm-hmm. how am I going to pay my rent? How am I going to look good enough? How am I going to have this nice car? And I realized that money was not buying me happiness because I didn't have enough money. Mm-hmm. And now I do.
Well, all you had was your parents' trust fund. And as we all know, that's not enough. It's a good start, of course, but that is not enough for one to live off of.
No, because having the money means nothing if you didn't earn it yourself. And that's mm-hmm. what I learned, is that mm-hmm. money was just, I was treating it like found money. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? It was like I was at an open bar and I just kept drinking even though I wasn't thirsty, literally.
You didn't know the actual value of it, and you were drunk. You and were drunk on money.
I was drunk on money. I was drunk on my collection of old autographed photos of the Rat Pack. I have the world's
deepest. What a beautiful collection.
I have the world's deepest and most beautiful collection of autographed Rat Pack headshots and photos and
movies. Those guys were so cool. I mean, they sang in lounges in Vegas in the 60s. I mean, how much cooler can you get?
Dino, Frankie, Sammy, Bino. GasX.
Yeah, Boofy.
Boofy. I mean,
yes. These guys, I mean, these guys are legends. These guys, they don't make guys like that anymore. You know, these were lounge guys. These were cool guys. These were guys I would give up my fortune to be or be with.
And there was a Frenchman who I found online who had a autographed photo of Boofy, Joe DiMaggio, and Marilyn Monroe all hanging out above that sewer.
Wow.
Grate. They were all
above the sewer grate. Hanging out above the sewer grate. And where were the guys? Guys' eyes were up here.
Guys, Yeah, well, let's just say their eyes are their eyes were not where they belonged, and it was a cop moment. You know what I mean?
I had to negotiate
with this frog, this French bastard, about this photo that he wanted an arm and a leg for. You know what I mean? Because it's rare, a rare Boofy and DiMaggio and Marilyn all together, autographed by all three of them. Because they wouldn't get together and autograph things very often. You know, separately they might autograph a solo.
And just a Boofy alone would be one thing, but with DiMaggio and Monroe added is something else. I mean, there's plenty of Boofies out there, but
oh yeah, but Boofy the three, because a lot of people think, you know, Boofy. I don't want to get into conspiracy theories, but a lot of people think Boofy killed Kennedy.
That's why it's a limited edition picture. You didn't see Boofy that much after the Kennedy assassination, and we're saying, is it related? Is it not? Of course, you and I know the answer. We purchased it.
But, yeah, we purchased it.
We purchased the answer. You know, we're not going to tell anybody because then that would bring down the value for us.
We can talk about the things we own all day. We are here ultimately to help people. The business billionaire's mindset. How do you get to us? And today's episode, we wanted to talk about one of the hardest parts of business. The job interview.
That's right. We want to go from the very beginning. How do you get in there? How do you get the interview in the first place? How do you dress? What do you say once you're there? How do you follow up? Mm-hmm. All of these steps are incredibly, incredibly important.
Mm-hmm. 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 How many job interviews would you say you've been on?
Oh, God. I mean, isn't every day a job interview? Every day is a job interview. So I guess 100,000?
100. Yeah, that's absolutely right. Every morning you wake up and you should be preparing for the job interview of life. And that's people who succeed in the room are people who are succeeding from the moment they open their eyes.
That's right. That's right.
Me feeding my dog. That's a job interview.
Absolutely, because if he doesn't eat the food, he dies, and you failed at the job.
That's right. So, you know? So you have to start thinking of every single moment of life the same way you think of work. It is a job that must be done, otherwise you
die,
are fired.
Or the other thing dies. Yeah, well, the great firing.
The great firing, yes, is death, and we'll all eventually be fired, unless, of course, the cryo-freeze technology that you and I are kind of investing in and working on works out. Big wink on that one.
Big wink.
Of course, we do all the things everyone does: blood transfusions, ice baths, coal baths,
fingernail replacements,
eyebrow shavings,
armpit massages, expressing of the elbow gland.
We express our elbow glands once a week, and if you haven't tried it, you have to.
You simply must.
We learned that from a little dinner we had with Steve Wynn of the Wynn Casinos in Las Vegas.
That's right.
It was us, Steve Wynn, his plastic surgeon, and
Plastic surgeon.
Yes, his.
I guess it was us, Steve Wynn, and 13 plastic surgeons, wasn't it, that night?
That was, yeah. I remember you looking around and saying, we got a baker's dozen of plastic surgeons here.
That was hilarious. That's right. God, that was a fun night. That was really good. And you know, you got to hang out with the plastic surgeon that hangs out with the plastic surgeon, because you can't trust a guy who does his own work.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
You know, and you kind of got to see the artist of the art.
And would you say that was, I don't want to get into it too deeply with you, but would you say that was a mistake you made, was trusting a plastic surgeon who did his own surgeries?
Yes, that was hard. I realized that because he was beautiful and he had done his own work. And I said, well, if this is his results, absolutely. But it turns out he only knows how to hold the pen sort of backwards. You know,
once the
pen turns around, the knife turns around. As you can see, I look fine. I've had plenty of fixes, plenty of things to make me look normal. But one day, I looked a lot better than this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm glad, you know, listeners of the podcast will realize that you had a surgery recently. And you're forming words so much better. Your lips are making the full word formations, which is really helpful for us all to understand. You don't have to have the little napkin nearby to wipe your lips every once in a while.
You know, since this is about job interviews, I am just going to come clean and say it. Looks are important. Looks in this world are the first way that people receive you. So, yeah, I've had some work done. And I made sure that my work was finished before I went into that important interview.
Yeah.
I've gotten a few inches added to my height. Okay.
Absolutely.
I've gotten a few feet shaved off of the exterior of my entire body. So you know what I mean? Just a little bit everywhere.
This is a little bit of sculpting. Secret is you want to find out who you're interviewing with, and then you want to do research, either calling the company, calling their family, casing the place, following them around. You want to know how tall they are, and you want to know what sort of shape they cut. And what you want to do is you want to be just a half inch taller, and you want to be about, what would you say, 8% thinner?
Yeah, I think so. And you want to look like them, of course, but you don't want to look exactly like them, right? A slightly improved version of them.
We are.
So if you come in sort of looking about like their dream of themselves, they're going to go, oh my God, this guy's like me, but better.
This guy's
I got to hire this guy.
But you can't look like their fantasy of themselves because then they get
too
jealous.
Close.
They get jealous and it's too close and they'll be freaked out a little bit, you know, but that every hiring, you know, that was one of the reasons I had to leave eventually General Motors was because every time it got bought out, I had a new boss. So I'm getting a new surgery. And unfortunately, people with very different body types and looks, heights and shapes. So I had inches added. I had inches shaved off. Eventually, they couldn't shave the legs anymore, so I had to start shaving off the head. Just a short
That was really tough, because I remember that. That was a big process. You had to get your brain lowered. You had to get your ears lowered. You had to get your nose flipped around, because once they moved the brain into the sinus cavity, the nose collapsed, of course. Then they had to take the collapsed nose and point it back outwards.
Yes, so the only way that my nose... Well, yeah, they pointed outwards, so I had an innie nose for a while.
You had an innie nose.
And I was smelling my own breath all day and nothing from the outside world. And, you know, it was not my most attractive time.
However, I don't think you would give it back, because the lessons that you learned from that experience, of course, strengthened you.
And
made you resilient.
Well, what was tough for me in those lessons, it was almost like the film Liar Liar, is I ended up going to a bit of a Geppetto. And so at first I got my nose back outwards,
Pinocchio,
which was night. I got Pinocchio'd. Exactly. And so every time I lied, which you have to do in business, that's rule number one, is you have to lie, and lying is okay. Even huge lies, small lies, whatever.
Even huge lies are okay if it helps your bottom line. Absolutely. Because someday people are going to discover the truth, you know? But then when the truth comes out, who's got the money?
Yes.
Hopefully me, right?
'Tis better to pay for forgiveness than ask for permission.
Absolutely. So when you go in for that interview, make sure you're 2 inches taller than the person. You look just like them, but better. But don't try too hard, you know? People can smell that.
That's right. It was a big struggle, of course, for me when I ended up, you know, I ended up having a job interview for Marlon Brando's company a couple decades ago. And so I really changed my body, but too much like Brando. And he could, that guy is an actor. He can sniff out inauthenticity, and he sniffed it out in me.
And you've got to get up-to-date photos, because the way that Brando can change... You were just a little behind.
I was a little behind. He had lost a little of the weight. And so I came in. I came in full, you know,
he thought
full
you were making
Dr.
fun of
Moreau.
Him. He thought you were making fun of him in kind of a fat bastard type of
it
suit.
It couldn't have been more the opposite. Yeah, it wasn't a suit. I had my body reverence. Changed. It was reverence. Of course, when I worked for Fat Bastard, I fixed that mistake.
Yes. Well, he, of course, very malleable. So understands the fast differences.
And I learned a lot from him.
But
we never talked on air about how we met, which was a job interview against each other.
That's right.
We both showed up looking almost exactly the same, a little taller than the person, a little bit thinner. Face.
We looked at each other and said, okay, you've been to business school.
You've been to business school.
You get it. Absolutely.
Yeah. And neither of us got the job because we were so competitive with each other, we forgot who we were really competing with. Ourselves.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
You are your own worst enemy, friends, but you're also...
And your best friend.
Your best friend.
You're your best friend. You're your worst enemy. You're the angel. You're the devil on each shoulder, you know, and you got to learn to control those impulses.
Absolutely.
Now, I feel like we've talked about how to go into the interview, but once you've secured the interview, once you've made your first impression, now you're in the chair. Someone is across from you, and of course, you're across from them. What is it that you always say in an interview? I know there's three important questions.
Yes.
What are those questions?
So for me, question number one is, and I like to do a little bit of a laugh. I say, nice office. I'll look great in it. Because what I do there is I say, I'm gunning for you, kind of as a joke. But really, what I mean? This is going to be my office. And everywhere I've worked, I have ended up usurping, either getting fired or usurping the person who hired me.
One of the two, because it's to the death. Everybody knows that every job is to the death.
It's to the death.
You either take the person's job ahead of you or they can you.
It's Oedipal almost. You know what I mean? The father, the mother, the boss, you're going to kill and you're going to take the Holy Ghost, of course.
Of course.
So that's my first thing is all I'll say is nice office. I'll look great in it. Then the first question I ask, because they got to know you're serious, is where is the bathroom?
Have to know because, as we all know, big power dynamic in the interview. You always go to the bathroom in the middle of the interview. Even if the interview's 5-10 minutes, you have got to pause in the middle to go to the bathroom. And you take a long one. Absolutely, because you want them to know that your time is important and that your bowel movements are going to always be taken care of.
And of course, because of all the work you're having done, all the big steak business dinners that you're having, lunches, all that stuff, they got to know you're going to be in there a lot.
Absolutely.
Because my stomach is a wonderland, but a nightmare. It's that angel devil situation. Now, what about you? What's the first question?
My first question after where's the bathroom, because that's boilerplate. If you're not doing that, you're not doing anything. My first real question when I really want to get into them is, why aren't you better at your job?
Make them feel like they're on the hot seat.
Put them on the defensive.
Put them on the defensive.
What is it about your own job that you could do better? Because A, I want to do better. I want to do better than you're doing. I want your job. I'm gunning for you, clearly. But B, make them feel like you already know the answer.
Yes, yes. And I feel safest around people who make me feel defensive. Because it's like, okay, we're in the muck together. We're at war together. This is why people who are in the army are so close with each other. It's you're so defensive.
It's you against everybody, absolutely. The only people you can trust are right next to you and anyone else you want to shoot with a gun.
And obviously, you know, I know a little bit about this because I was in boot camp for a little bit until I had a bit of a grenade skirmish that left my right hand inoperable.
You bruised your right hand and lost some of your hair.
I bruised my right hand and lost some of my hair. And for a little while, I looked just like Abdul. As I had the hand stuck. And that's why whenever you see me, I'm always holding a cigar. He holds a pencil. Me, it's a cigar stuck in my bruised.
You don't
right
light
hand.
It, though, do you?
No, just like Will Smith.
Now, that is so fascinating.
Yes.
Because a cigar, obviously a power move. If you've got a cigar in your hand, you do not care about the people around you. But if you don't light it... Sorry, guys, that was a sneeze break. When you sneeze, it's good. Just let them go.
It's a power move. Let them out. One time, correct me if I'm wrong, I think we've talked about this on the air before, but you did a whole job interview that was just sneezes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I could tell that this was a tough customer.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I wanted to let him know, I don't care. I'll sneeze all day in here. Even stinky sneezes. I'll stinky sneeze in your office all day long, and it'll smell like an old towel in here.
A stinky sneeze. Because I didn't know about a stinky sneeze until I met you.
The stinky sneeze, the sort of mildewy stench of a sneeze after you've done 30 to 50 of them, it's specific. You know what I mean? And that guy's going to know what I smell like when I leave. And that's a big power move. And he's probably going to get sick with whatever I have. I'm on the way down. Hopefully he's on the way up. It's going to throw him. Technically, I like to bring a disease into the office.
Yeah, you got
I like
it.
To bring a disease in, a tougher disease to cure, something like that, so that they have to call me back. Once a few people come down with tuberculosis C, know what I mean? The dangerous one that nobody knows about. They're going to be like, we can't solve this. What do we do? I guess we got to call the guy that gave this to us. And I'll say, oh, yeah, I have the antidote.
You want to hire me?
You're going to have to double what you offered me.
That's right. And it works. Of course, the C there is for crazy, right? It's
tuberculosis crazy. Yeah. Yes, it's a crazy strain that they found that they could never get the the patent for, because I own it, the cure.
And now we get a lot of questions about this. Let's say you ended your last job, it negatively, and they are calling your references. What do you do for references? Well, here's something that you and I have now started offering through the podcast. For $200, we will be your reference.
That's right.
We will say whatever you want about us, about you. We'll read a script or we'll write your own script for $200.
We'll talk about us a little bit.
Well, that's the thing about a reference. We might not even mention you in the phone call, because that's how they know we mean something.
That's right. And sometimes when we've been hired to be a reference, we'll get the job instead of the person that hired us.
Yes.
That has happened on occasion.
100 times.
It's tough to shut down these business brains, if you know what I mean.
Right now, how many jobs do you have?
Right. Technically, it feels like none. You know, you find what you love and you're not working a day in your life.
Yes.
I love making money and I am making money. Physically, I have 62 jobs, corporations, or positions that I'm holding.
That's right. You are on the board of the Sailors Union, which is cool.
Most people don't even know about it. The Sailors Union is huge. And that's not just, local personal watercraft. That's everything on the ocean. You have to be in the Sailors Union.
That's right. And you go hard after non-union boaters. You go really hard after 9 years.
Oh, yes. If you're not out on the water paying a tax, you're going to get either capsized or arrested because that's the rule. The union runs the water, and all the sailors, all the captains, we help each other out.
That's right. It's a bit of a Costa Nostra, wouldn't you say?
I would say that. You do not want to be out in international waters without your certification.
And you own a Carl's Jr.?
I own many Carl's Jr.'s.
And that's because you were tired of paying for your big star and your famous star and all of that.
That's right. I eat a famous star every day for lunch. And so I figured I'd buy the Carl's Jr. so I could get it for free. And technically, yeah, it's a loss. This one is a bit of a badge of honor.
Yeah.
It's my first proud loss. Obviously, this is for further into the business discussion. But eventually, you're going to get some hubris and you're going to start taking losses because you're happy to. You're happy to lose on this one because you've won so much everywhere else. You know what I mean? And there's a big part of the world economy that is technically failing, but, vanity projects, essentially. For me, it's vain. I love to eat a superstar, and I need to vainly go get a hamburger from this fast food place for free every day.
Yeah. To be a regular at your own place that you own, there's nothing better.
Nobody can.
And it's, you and me, at the end of the day, we're just little kids. And we just want those things back. We want our fast cars. We want our free burgers. We want our infinity pool in the shape of a pair of butts. It's just there's little things that you like. You want to hang out with the cast of Sesame Street. Mm-hmm. I've been on Sesame Street more times than anyone.
Big Bird, actually.
Yeah, I've now usurped Big Bird.
Technically, you've been on Sesame Street more than Big Bird, which is a big move. Obviously, the show's gone down in quality, but I think it has gone up in viewership complaints. I think it's gone
way up in viewership complaints.
Yeah, it's gone way up in complaints. It's gone way up on being in the news for not being good anymore. A lot more articles written about it.
The budget for Oscar the Grouch has gone way up because he and I get in fights every time I'm on.
That's right. It's almost, I don't know what to say about it. It's almost like Oscar has come to life and is really, really angry.
Oscar is my number one enemy. He's pretty pissed. I'm pretty pissed. At the end of the day, I think it's because we're like each other in so many ways.
Well, you came on in a big green cactus suit, of course, because cross promotion, synergy.
Yes.
And he was like, wait a second, I'm the green bastard on the show.
I said, no, I'm the green bastard on the show. Now move over, dude.
Because you tried to do an Oscar the Grouch as well, an Oscar the Grouch TOO. Mm-hmm. And he said, this street's only big enough for one Grouch.
Yeah. And, I underwrite a lot of PBS shows. So they got to have me on. I came on and ate cookies and got into a big fight with Oscar the Grouch again. Because he said, that's what my friend does, the Cookie Monster. Mm-hmm. And, I tore his little head off.
When you're in charge of these things, you can really do whatever you want. You, of course, took over the writer's room, wrote in that a lot of the characters on Sesame Street get assassinated.
Yeah.
And your character brings a gun onto the show, and of course you killed Big Bird, you killed the Count, you killed Cookie Monster, and these were some of the darkest, grittiest episodes of TV I have ever seen.
Yeah, I brought on the writer's room of NYPD Blue, and we basically, I went for it, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I started...
You guys showed Dennis Franz's ass on the show, which was pretty cool.
That was really exciting. We had just had a big picture of it, and we had the kids spell ass and stuff like that. And Franz, which is harder than you think. We had Hans mm-hmm. and Franz on, which was really fun.
I'll tell you what, they did pump you up.
They pumped me up. Yeah, I got buff. So yeah, that's mm-hmm. the thing though, is once you get to where we can be, it's all about vanity and satisfaction. And that's what we're doing, is we're satisfying our little urges that we've had our whole lives. Mm-hmm. Everyone wishes they could, but the first step is mastering the job interview.
Right.
Here's the big question of the job interview. Do you come, and this may be a trick question, everybody, so get out your papers and we'll see. Do you come A, stuffed, B, hungry, or C, other?
I come D, starving. I come starving. I am hungry for food, mm-hmm. for money, for power, all of it. I come in knowing that I'm going to eat this interview.
I'm glad you said that. You're going to eat. I come fasted and starving. Mm-hmm. And what I'll do, I don't know if this is your thing, but I will either go to the break room and I will eat everything there, or I'll eat the person interviewing me's lunch in front of them, or mm-hmm. I'll find the most powerful person, HR, or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'll eat their lunch in front of them.
And this is, again, one of those lessons that's hard to teach people. You sort of have to learn for yourself, but you are what you believe you deserve.
Yeah.
So if I believe that I deserve every piece of food in the kitchen, regardless of me working there or not, I'll go get it. And then people will treat me that way. They'll treat me as the guy who eats all the food. They'll treat me as the guy who deserves all the food. They'll treat me as the top of the company, because I don't care. Everything in this building should be for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it goes.
And that's,
I'm going to put my face on a lot of this stuff. If I end up in here, I come in with stickers day one.
You mark your territory with your face.
Absolutely. I put my face on everything. I put my face on all the pens, pencils, fridge, a coffee maker, everybody's chair. I put my face on the butt of everybody's chair.
What's your sticker budget?
And then I got a funny little joke. What?
What's your sticker budget?
Technically free.
Free, because it pays for the job. And you know what?
It pays for itself.
You know what pays for the stickers? Is laughs are worth more than money. So if mm-hmm. someone is like, I just sat on your face,
mm-hmm.
it's funny. And you're like, mm-hmm. yeah, it is. You'll remember me now.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. And I don't even have to make an off-color comment. You mm-mm. know what I mean?
Mm-mm.
That's a big part of work.
Mm-mm.
Everybody wants to make the off-color comment. Everybody wants to do that. Everybody loves to, I don't know what words they're using these days, but harass people, right? Everybody loves
right.
this. And I don't even have to say it verbally anymore. The sticker does the job.
Yeah, I don't know what words we're using these days either, but everybody is trying to harass people. And what you're saying is, and what I love about you is, I don't need to say the harassment. I don't need to fuck around. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows what's on your mind. And so you're two steps ahead.
That's
you're two
right.
steps ahead, which I love.
That's right. Yeah, thank you very much. Now, here's the big question. You've obviously shown up to the interview right. You've asked them the questions. You've made the power move of going to the bathroom right in the middle for a long mm-hmm. time. You've eaten whatever is in the bowl on the table. All of it. Every M&M, doesn't matter what it is. You've said yes to each water they've offered you. Maybe it's 20. Drink every water they offer you.
Mm-hmm.
How do you close the interview? What is your sort of trump card,
mm-hmm.
you know, to make them know you're the guy, you're the person for the job? What do you leave them wanting more with and making them afraid with?
Now, this is tough because I've tried a lot of strategies and I haven't aced one. But right now, my big move is I show them the picture of my prom date from 25 years ago. And I just say, I went to prom with the prom queen. Look at her. You know what I mean?
And
that was me at 17. Now I'm 42, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you want to be hiring here?
You want prom queens running around this place? Because that's what you're going to get with me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I attract prom queens.
I attract prom queens. And, you know, I'll get some follow-ups. Oh, do you have any pictures of your family, your wife, or your kids, or anything like that?
For what?
For what?
I'm not going to attract those people here.
They're not coming
here.
This is a business. All right. And what do people want to see?
Prom queens. Because what are prom queens? The apex of society. Prom kings and queens are the most popular kids in school.
Mm-hmm.
That's who I hang with. That's who I roll with. Mm-hmm. It's clear to me.
And then it's happened a couple times. They'll say, they'll kind of get a spark in their eye and they'll see the picture of me and the prom queen together and they'll say,
of course,
hang on a second. Are you the guy that there's that VHS of going around that went kind of viral, who it turns out you were being pranked? And what it was one of the most popular people in school went to prom with you and pranked you at the prom.
You got to have a story.
And then when you won prom king, everybody laughed and pointed at you.
And now all of your life has been revenge.
and I'll say
how people treated you in high school.
I'll say exactly what you said. You got to have a story. Yeah. And I'll leave them with that.
That's so cool.
But I don't know. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. One time I interviewed with Amanda, the woman who was my prom queen, and I forgot, and I showed her the picture. And she said,
good for her. She's a hiring position.
Yeah, good for her. Good for her. Mm-hmm. She's done incredibly well for herself. She runs all the marketing for Safeway Vons.
Mm.
Good for her.
Beautiful.
Which I've
good
never
corporation.
I didn't
company.
Get hired there. Great corporation. What about you? How do you end the meeting? Because I know I don't want to skip ahead, but you will never break the handshake, which is nice.
That's right. I will never release first. I will make them say, can we please let go?
Mm-hmm.
That's the nonverbal way I end the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And verbally, I say, if you don't give me this job, you will regret it. It will be a grave, grave mistake that will punish the rest of your family for generations to come.
Mm-hmm.
You've got my number.
Mm-hmm.
You've got my email. Save your family and hire me.
And
that seems to do the trick.
And would you call that a promise or a threat?
Whichever way they'd like to take it,
yeah,
I'll ensure that that's the way it is.
That's right.
Yep.
And what I like about that is some people have made it to where they are by motivation, self-motivation. Mm-hmm. And so what you're saying is everything you've worked for will go away if you don't hire me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people think that way. It's a transaction. They don't want their... You don't want your lunch stolen from you. You don't want your family stolen from you. Life is a transaction. Life is a business deal. You don't want to get fired. You always want to get hired. And that's
I'm saying this while I refuse to ungrip their hand.
Right.
And in my other hand, I've got a lighter.
Oh, wow.
And I put it right between our faces, and I just light it. So they can see the flame. They can hold my hand.
Yes.
And they know what I mean.
And obviously, you know, you've got some... What you end up having is a pretty high legal budget. Mm-hmm. And we have the best lawyers. And that's our next episode, is we're having our lawyers on.
Because mm-hmm. these guys are fascinating.
You have
these guys
have
are fascinating.
Lawyers, and they're so fascinating. The stuff they mm-hmm. do, the people that they help hurt, you know, it's really a beautiful thing. My lawyers mm-hmm. represent, name somebody in the business world, they represent them. Aaron Sorkin.
Wow.
Jesse Plemons. I mean, these guys.
From Aaron Sorkin to Jesse Plemons, these guys rep everybody. These guys rep everybody.
I got to say, one thing about this podcast is I find it's hard for people to empathize with us because they're jealous. So I wanted to add something to the end of the episode here today, which is moments of empathy. Where do you find these in a world... where you are, what can I say? We're sharks out there. We're dogs. Mm-hmm. We're jaguars. We're bears. People fear us more than they are.
We've killed people, Cameron.
Yeah, oh, we've killed people. We've absolutely killed people, Dunstan.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we bring that empathy? Because that is also a tool. People caring about you is a tool for power, mm-hmm. wouldn't you say? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. That's how I use empathy. I get them to care about me more than they care about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I really think that's the trick. Showing mm-hmm. people that you're here to provide for them, but really they're providing for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's really nice. Yep.
That's what it is. It's all interdependent. See?
Yeah.
I give you a little bit. You give me a little bit more back.
Yeah.
I give you $100 today. You give me $200 in a month.
That's right. It's a little. You
know? And it is helpful. It's going to be harder for you long term. It's going to be a lot better for me long term. But it is helpful. Maybe you needed that $100.
Yeah. At that time, it was a benefit to you to have received my $100.
Right. So I will benefit for the next 10 to 100 years.
That's right. You owe me. You owe me.
You owe me. You owe me forever. Well, that's empathy, folks. That's owe me.
You owe me. And I will owe you a little less, hopefully, but a little more sometimes. And of course, as we end every episode, it's our mini transaction of the week. It's where we encourage you to find a little transaction you can win. Mine this week was at a restaurant. They brought my fries out normal, but I didn't want to pay for the fries. And so I ended up saying that the fries were overcooked. After I had finished them, I got the fries for free. That was just a little win at the Buffalo Genius. Wild Wings.
Genius. That's really nice. And it was nice of you to go back out in public. I mean, I know you don't like to go to the, what do they even call them? The little restaurants where people eat that often.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most food is delivered to you, cooked or invented at your house, obviously. But I think that's really cool of you.
Yes, most food is cooked or invented at my house that I eat. But, you know, you still have to be amongst the people and know what's going on. Even though I own the 13th most popular cell phone hiding business in Arizona, you know, you still got to go out there and see what people are talking about, what they're doing at a Buffalo Wild Wings or wherever the norms hang out. And also, that's a lot of our listeners are the norms. We got to know what they like. So I like to see that. What about you? What was your miniature win of the week? What was your little win?
Well, my mini win of the week was pretending that I had a pop tire so that I could go into the mechanic while they were fixing the tire. I said, I would check on this other thing for me. Yeah, check on this other thing for me. Sure, I can afford it, right? I can afford it, but I'm trying to get a little win.
It's a little win. You're getting your 21-point inspection for free.
That's right. And then the tire wasn't even popped, already fixed. They said, wait a second, I don't even have a job to do here. They said, well, then why don't you check on something else?
Yes.
Of course, they refilled my wiper fluid and checked a little star I had in my windshield, fixed it so I didn't have a total crack.
Yes.
And it was all for free just because of my charm and my trick.
Dunstan, I love this for you. I love
Cameron,
this for you.
Cameron, thank you so much.
That's a really good win. So everybody out there, figure out your little negotiation win of the week. How can you just subtly get something from someone that you don't even need? Mm-hmm. And that will build into bigger and bigger. That's a baby.
And hey, we got Halloween coming up. You know, there's going to be a lot of kids on the street with free candy.
Teach them those lessons.
So think about that. That's a freebie.
Here's a big one. I want to hear your stories of if you can somehow get a kid to give you their candy on Halloween when they come to your house. Oh, we'd love to hear those stories. Every year, there's always a great story of tricking a kid into giving you their candy. Sob stories work. But whatever you want to do, hit us with those stories.
That's right. It's never too young to start.
And what are you going as this year for Halloween?
Well, this year I'm going as a dollar bill. I'm going as one giant dollar bill. It's funny because I don't use them anymore.
Right. It is funny. It is very funny.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. What about you?
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Cool.
Love the guy. He's huge. One of the biggest names in the industry. So, well, everybody, keep making money out there, keep winning, and keep getting hired every day. I want to say to you, Dunstan Pewtermouse, after this conversation we've had, yet again, I continue to hire me as a business partner and a friend.
Oh, Cameron Applemail, I couldn't have said it better myself. I love you. I would pay you if I could. And I'll tell you what, I'll see you next week.
Hey, see you next week.
Cha-ching!